Rahul, you may please start the proceedings.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Rahul Shukla, Assistant Vice President Finance from HCC, and I welcome you all the investors and analysts for this presentation of Q3 FY24. Joined with me for this presentation from HCC side are senior management of HCC Finance Department and Corporate Communication, HCC Infrastructure. Moving forward with the presentation. Just a small refresher. On its almost 100 years of legacy, HCC has constructed over 4,000 kilometers of India's highways, almost 400 kilometers of tunnels. 60% of India's installed nuclear power capacity has been contributed by HCC, and 26% of India's installed hydropower capacity has been contributed by HCC. So these are our key pillars of execution. In terms of national footprint, as you can see, we are present all across India, and very strong geographical diversification of our projects helps us in mitigating risk as well. As of end of Q3 FY24, our order book stood slightly above 11,000 crores. Almost 50% of that comes from transport sector, followed by hydro, water, and other projects. In terms of business outlook, you all must appreciate that infrastructure sector has been getting a lot of attention in terms of government attention span as well as CapEx plans. So in the recent budget itself, we have seen that government has announced capital expenditure of almost 11 lakh crores. Even private CapEx has been reviving, which was subdued 2-3 years back. But in the last financial year, we have seen 7-8 lakh crores of private CapEx going into this infrastructure sector, which is a very, very big positive sign. Public-private partnership is also picking up quite well. In last few years, there has been not been much of the traction over here, but recently with modification of model concession agreement and government coming up with more than 50 BOT projects valuing more than 2 lakh crores is a good sign for this sector. Coming to HCC, other HCC-specific sectors like hydropower, pump storage scheme, and other sectors, there has been a sustained allocation of funds as well as capacity expansion plan because India ultimately has to meet its commitment of net zero targets and also the commitment of generating over 500 gigawatt of power through non-fossil fuel by 2030. So this sector will keep on getting a lot of attention, which is good for HCC, especially for hydro projects. You must be aware that in Arunachal project, there was a lot of stagnation in development of hydro project. But now Arunachal Pradesh government and central government have assigned almost 10 projects to various central PSUs, which will be a boost for development of hydro projects in that area. And HCC being present in those areas historically can be a big positive for us as far as execution is concerned. We know the geography, we know the risk and rewards over the area. Another sector, pump storage scheme, is also a rising sector because in order to meet peak power demand, there has to be a development of this kind of projects. And there is going to be strong pipeline of, say, 8 to 10 gigawatt of pump storage scheme coming for award in next few years. Another sector of keen interest is railways because ultimately it's the logistic which is going to drive the utilization of India's true potential of its geographies. So under National Railway Plan, there is a clear visibility of capacity addition that by 2030, the railways have to have capacity to meet its 15, 20 years ahead of requirements, which is attracting a lot of investor interest. And also the EPC model is being worked out for fast-track development of these projects, which will help boost India's infrastructure as well as will give us much more visibility in terms of order books. Nuclear sector, which had been a slow-moving sector for last few years, is now picking up. And there is administrative approval for 12 nuclear reactors from government. And this is the first time in the history that fleet model has been brought into this sector for fast-track development of nuclear power projects. HCC, being a leader in this sector, is clearly expected to have competitive advantage because there is a low competition in this sector, and we have got very strong know-how by contributing to 65% of India's installed capacity. So we are very positive as far as business outlook is concerned. Now we have to gear up ourselves to encash it. In terms of key performance highlight for the last quarter, as you can see, we have achieved a revenue of 1,474 crore, which is 8.6% higher than the revenue for Q3 FY23, which was 1,357 crores. Our consolidated profit for the quarter was 233 crore against a loss of 283.7 crore last year. Standalone ENC turnover is up by 7.7% and is at a level of 1,245 crores versus 1,155 crores last year. Our standalone profit is considerably up to 68.5%, is against a profit of 25.2 crore in the same as the Q3 FY23. EBITDA margin is also maintained at a very healthy level of 12.4% in terms of industry, even though it was slightly higher in the Q3 FY23, but this is okay. In terms of operations, we have achieved provisional completion certificate for Sawalkot Tunnel Project in J&K. And also a major milestone has been achieved in Nikauchi Hydro Project in Bhutan, wherein water in turbine has passed and grid synchronization of the power project has been achieved, which is considerable. In terms of progress in our rights issue, we had filed our draft letter of offer to SEBI and also BSE/NSE. We have received BSE/NSE approval, and SEBI approval is also expected shortly. We have also received upgrade in rating from ICRA to double B stable. And another rating agency, CARE, had upgraded us during last quarter. So both the agencies have now upgraded us to double B. In terms of business development, HCC has submitted its bid for almost 7,000 crore worth of projects, which are under evaluation. Another 14,000 crore worth of bids are in the process of being submitted in the coming quarter. And we have got very strong pipeline of almost more than 46,000 crores project, which we will be bidding in the future. This is a snapshot of our Q quarter-on-quarter performance for this financial year, just to demonstrate that the performance have been quite consistent in terms of revenue, EBITDA, PAT. So this is what we have been striving for, and we believe that we have reached to the level now. Here we can see year-on-year performance. So we can see consistency in revenues, EBITDA, and also the PAT, which was negative in FY23, has come to a considerable positive level in FY24. three, and also in FY24, we have clear visibility of positive profits. On operations updates, this is an update on Mumbai Coastal Road project, which is one of the largest projects that we are executing as on date. So in the first photograph, you can see that the monopile work is going on. So all monopile foundation work has been completed. And with the help of this monopile technology, the number of piles, which were supposed to be 424, has now been reduced to only 79. And this is the first large-scale monopile implementation in India. So this is one of the engineering feat that we have achieved in this project. Photograph number two, you can see the Worli interchange segment launching, which is in progress. This circular section that you see. And this is progressing quite well. The bottom left photograph, you can see the navigation span of composite bridge that connects Coastal Road to the Bandra-Worli Sea Link is casted at Nhava Sheva Yard. This is a photograph of the Nhava Sheva Yard, which is almost 9-acre facility that we have developed for casting these very, very long spans, because you must be aware last time we had updated that these are 120-meter spans that we have to do. So this casting has to be done in a special casting yard, and then these segments are transported through sea, through barges to bridge location, and then they are installed. So this is a photo of that. And the first navigation span of composite bridge was successfully launched on 2nd February 2024. So this is one of the major things that we have achieved over here. With regard to other projects, Anjikhad project, here most of the civil work has been completed. Now finishing work is going on, and we hope to finish that also very soon. In DMRC's DC06 project also, metro tunnel and civil work all have been finished, and now architecture and finishing work are going on in the station. And the project is progressing quite well. Mumbai Metro project, again, there are four stations. So a couple of stations are at a very, very advanced stage. Other two projects stations are also progressing well. T49, entire tunnel is ready in all aspects. And finishing work like slope protection and all is going on. So in a nutshell, all our major projects are on track. Tehri pump storage scheme. This is a 1,000 megawatt pump storage scheme that is being constructed in Uttarakhand. I just mentioned in the previous slide about the importance of PSP for peak power generation. And this is a very important project and have been progressing quite well. Vishnugarh Pipalkoti Hydro project is also our TBM is functioning quite well now. And during January itself, we have been able to do 431 meter of HRT tunneling. And important aspect to mention here is that it's a very, very large diameter TBM, 9.86 meter diameter, double shield TBM is one of the largest tunneling that is being done. And a progress of 431 meter in a month is quite remarkable. Nikachu Hydroelectric Project is like in the final milestone. So here we have achieved final milestone of wet commissioning of turbine in December 2023, and grid synchronization has also happened, as I already updated in the previous slide. These are some of the numbers, key numbers I had already explained, so I'll not be going through each and every number. You can just go through them. They have also been updated, uploaded in the websites. Consolidated numbers. Now a brief on Steiner AG. Some of you may not be aware, in case you have not been tracking for some time. So Steiner AG is a wholly owned subsidiary of HCC in Switzerland. This was founded in 1950, so not 1915, so completed more than 100 years of its establishment. It is one of the top contractor in Switzerland and constructed many marquee projects. Company was acquired by HCC in 2010, and it is headquartered in Zurich. There have been some development in this company. Like in 2021, company embarked on the reorganization, and in 2023, major milestone was achieved by selling its construction business. To give you a better light, Steiner comprises of real estate development as well as real estate construction business. Since HCC is in the process of monetizing and getting capital back for its own business and growth, it was this business of development and construction was bifurcated in 2021, and now we have exited low margin, high risk construction business, and our pure focus over there is on development, which requires very niche skill set that Steiner has developed over the years, and we have got very strong pipeline of development project. And we are very, very confident that this is going to be a real value generator in the future. To give you a sense of numbers, this is the spread of project that Steiner development business has got. Most of the focus is on west side of the Switzerland. And we have got more than 65 active projects. So when I say active projects, it means clear development activities are going on. So there are various stages of development, starting from signing of MOU with landowners and then taking various clearances, approvals, taking the project to the level where some construction activity can start. There is a fund who will come and invest. So all those things need to be performed before the project can be taken to the construction. And as on date, there is a pipeline value of 4.9 billion Swiss franc, from which we can expect a cumulative developer fee to Steiner of around 395 million. And the total sellable area through the current portfolio is over 7 lakh square meter, 7.22 lakh square meter, which is, I mean, huge. And obviously, company will keep on striving for new project, expanding its portfolio and creating more value for shareholders. These are some of the select ongoing and completed project. Just to give a sense that these are very, very marquee projects. Many of them are marquee projects which have been done by the company, and it continues to do so. Some of the financial highlights. For Q3 FY23, the order book of the company was 4,367 crore in terms of Indian rupees, or 448 million CHF. And for Q3, the turnover was 218 crore, is against 800 crore in FY23. And PAT was 56 crore, is against loss of 329 crore during last year. This you can see lower number for the turnover, essentially because Steiner construction business is divested now, so its turnover is not being captured in these slides now. So this is pure development business turnover that you are seeing here. With this, I am closing the presentation, and we open the floor for question and answer. Thank you.
Hello.
Mr. Nigar Shah, can you start, please? Yeah, we can hear you, yes.
My first question is on the EBITDA margin. We have seen a dip here. So what are the EBITDA margin expectations for the year end this year? And EBITDA margin expectation going into the next year?
Good evening, Girish Gangal. See, first of all, I'll answer your question about there is a dip. There is no dip as such. Our margins are anything between 12-14. It depends on the composition of the project, what we execute during particular quarter. So one project might have a EBITDA margin what is giving me 15%, one may be giving 8%. So it's a combination of those 30-40 projects what will get into this EBITDA for a quarter. First question. As far as future is concerned, the general statement we can make that historically I've been making this kind of a margin, anything between 12-15%. So hopefully we should continue to do that. I can't make any future, forward-looking statement as such.
Okay, sir. And what is the ballpark figure for revenue which we will achieve this year, like by in Q4?
See, again, this is a matter of, any forward-looking statement, I am not supposed to make it because of the SEBI regulation. I can't make a statement that I'll make XYZ profit, I'll make this much of turnover, and so on and so forth. So unfortunately, I can't, directly answer this question, but we'll have a reasonably good run rate. That's what I can say. And just as a matter of information, our last quarter, generally March quarter, is always stronger than all the three quarters. Very strong compared to other three quarters, historically also.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
Yeah.
you and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Avi Agarwal, can you please start? Avi, you can unmute now and start.
No, sir, I have no questions. Thank
Yeah. Okay. Pushpendu Chan. Pushpendu. Okay. Pushpendu, you can go ahead. He's not getting connected, so I will move to the next one. Viraj. Viraj.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. I had a question. Last year, you had an interest cost of 1,000 crores for the financial year. Looks like this year you will finish at about 800 crores. What is likely to be your interest cost in the next financial year, given that you will use the proceeds from Steiner to repay debt?
Viraj, historically, yes, you are right. Our interest cost has been around 1,000 crore. However, we have carve out significant portion of our debt to a separate company, and now we can expect that going forward, our interest cost should be around in the range of 400 crores, 400, 450 crores. And
Right.
that is not just because we are planning to make any debt repayment from Steiner, but HCC debt itself has gone down. That's why interest costs are going down.
Right. So debt cost should halve in the next financial year again, approximately.
The same
Interest
number,
cost.
400, 450 crore is the number that I mentioned, will be in that range.
Okay. And what is your net debt now, as of current after the Steiner realization?
So, as you can see from our books, our debt and all are basically now in the form of primarily OCDs. And there is around 2,000 crores of worth of OCD outstanding, and we will be repaying that along with accrued yield as and when it is due for repayment.
And when is this due for repayment?
So this is an annual repayment that we have got. So every 31st March every year it becomes due. There is no repayment due in anywhere in between, not even interest. So it's kind of annual bullet payment that we have to make.
And what will be this annual bullet payment on 31st March this year?
This year it's around 340 crores, and we have made some part payment to the lenders already, and balance we will be making before or on 31st March.
Right. So this year you should go down by about 300 odd crores in debt.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mahesh, can you start, please?
Yeah, hi. So first of all, congratulations. At last, the numbers are showing the results of efforts that we have been at for years now in terms of changing the structure of our balance sheet as well as our P&L. My first question is regarding the money that has flown in the Steiner AG. What is it that the management intends to do with it? Will it go to the parent, or there are some plans in Steiner AG itself? How will that work out?
So let me address that question. You will have a part of the capital will be used to strengthen Steiner AG's balance sheet and to capitalize, and to fully fund various equity projects or development projects. And part will actually involve some return of capital to HCC. And we don't get into that level of detail, but one thing that we're certainly focused on in the next few quarters is to see how Steiner AG can actually contribute to a return of capital to HCC as well.
So that's not an immediate event, meaning we'll
it's not well, if you're referring right now to the current sale of Steiner Construction that's happened, there is like I said, there's been a partial contribution, and what you can expect is as a more material contribution will happen when we actually do a larger capital raising or a return of capital a transaction in the coming quarters, and that certainly is planned. I mean, ultimately, this is a question that we've been asked repeatedly in the past, and I think that now that we actually are in, and look, I think the return of capital for us is there's two aspects to it. One is that we realize the true value of Steiner AG and clearly be reflected in the quality of transaction we do. We're not going to just do that in a hurry. Certainly, HCC doesn't require that capital for, let's say, yes, it's always nice to actually have capital returned to HCC for debt prepayment. But at this point in time, HCC has more than enough, sufficient means to address its various, your debt repayment obligations. The only question for us is what the use of capital is going to be, what the best use of capital is going to be for growth. And so we see certainly some opportunities in Switzerland, for the closure of our development platform. And at the same time, we see tremendous opportunities for our growth of our construction business in India. And so it's a combination of that. And so you will probably in the subsequent quarters, I'm being a little vague because obviously I can't give you details at this point in time, but in the subsequent quarters, we will certainly basically expect to see that return of capital that I guess all shareholders have been patiently waiting for.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mr. Dhawan. Now one blue sky question. If one looks at HCC's history, it has been, and you have mentioned it in the presentation also, when it comes to nuclear power, our credentials are impeccable. Hardly anyone can match them. Okay. And Europe is a power-starved geography, meaning over the, I don't want to get into the geopolitics of it all, but clearly last 2 years, they have suffered in terms of energy availability. Do you see HCC at some point in time in next 2, 3 years playing a nuclear, getting an EPC in nuclear power kind of project in Europe, given the fact that the political resistance to nuclear has come down quite a bit in Europe right now?
The answer is no. We do have, we certainly are very proud of the fact that we have partners all over Asia and in Europe. That we evaluate opportunities with, but we see a lot more opportunity in India, where our infrastructure is and where our edge is for execution, and where our scale efficiencies lie. So at least in the foreseeable future, the answer is no.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. One last thing, we are going in for rights issue, and you just mentioned, I mean, we have been restructuring balance sheet for 18 months now, and we have done a great job of it. Clearly, we are in a much healthier financial position. So where would the rights issue capital flow into? Meaning, where will it be utilized?
I mean, I've answered this question before. The entire purpose of raising any equity from shareholders is going to be focused on growth.
And we've timed this equity raise with a confidence of what we basically see as a material order booking in the months to come. As always, nice to actually have a little extra liquidity on our balance sheet. We think this is the right time. And as far as the promoter group is concerned, it also, I think from our standpoint, is a good time to kind of show our own basically contribution in terms of the confidence of what we see going forward to business as well.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much, and all the best for future.
Sanjeev Damani ji, you may please start.
Sir, I am audible.
Yes.
Certainly, firstly, I really congratulate the company. Financially, now that we are coming to black, but a whole lot of effort has gone to, conclude all messes of earlier years and problems of earlier years, and, further making so much of good progress. So I really feel, like to salute our teams at SCC, and my best wishes for future as well. Now, sir, my question is that, and I want to understand that, sir, we are becoming better, but sir, last call you had given a figure that executable order is almost 12,000 crores and the output is only 318 crores, if I am not wrong in assessing this. So kindly tell me that why we are not able to make some big progress every quarter, and this being a quarter in which I think rains, etc., may not have disturbed much at our sites. Kindly reply, sir.
Sanjeev, can you please repeat your question once again in short? I missed it.
Okay, no problem. Sir, my only question is, we in last call, I was given to understand that we have executable order of approximately 12,000 crores,
yeah,
which can be executed, which are running that way. So our outputs per quarters are not coming to that ratio. So I just wanted to understand what is the problem there.
Okay. So Sanjeev,
I'll answer all this question.
Okay.
Yeah. Sanjeev, the order book was 12,000 crore last quarter, which has come down to 11,000 and odd for this quarter. This turnover has to be executed over a period of 2 to 3 years. Okay, this has not to be executed in 1 year.
Okay.
The run rate what we have is around 1,200 crores per quarter.
Okay.
And we are improving quarter by quarter. Rather, if you see for last 8 quarters, rather, last 2 years, March 22 and March 23, we have done the highest ever turnover in the company. 4,600 crores and then 5,200 crores.
Okay.
We are planning to even do better this year. So,
right.
But however, this entire order book will be cleared within a period of next 2 to 3 years, not in 1 year. That's okay. Why possibly you are getting that mismatch, what you are thinking.
Okay,
we are doing better rather every quarter.
I know, sir. We are performing much better and we are really clearing the mess and getting into a correct direction of growth in the days to come. And my best wishes for
Thank you so much, Sanjeev. Thank you.
Dharav, you may please start.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So, Mr. Arjun, like others, I would like to congratulate you and your team for good financial performance and the improvements that we are seeing. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, what was the cost of acquisition for Steiner AG versus the disinvestment that we have done?
I think what we can do is just get back to you precisely on the answer to that question. The acquisition that was done in 2010, if I recall, I don't have the number, frankly, on the top of my of my head, but we'll come back to you on that. Just keep in mind that the amount that we have actually realized from the current sale is only for a small portion of the business. And in fact, the value of the business that remains is actually far more valuable. And then the one more thing I'll say is that certainly when you compare the number that we will give you offline, I don't hesitate to basically say that the amount that we've divested, just a portion of the business today, is actually itself higher than substantially higher than what we actually paid for the entire company in 2010. I think that I'll stop there and actually let the team get back to you potentially offline, unless they have the numbers immediately right now.
Will do. Thanks. The second question is about the rights issue. If you can update, what is the status and what is the likely timeline when we would see it?
So, Saurabh, as I updated in the previous slide, our DLF is under SEBI approval. We have received approval from NSE and BSE, and we hope that SEBI will also approve it shortly. We are not in a position to commit a timeline because we are not supposed to. But you will see whenever there is some progress, you will get to know.
Okay, thank you. And my last question, we do see a lot of order wins from other construction companies. And I have a generic feeling, I may be incorrect, you may please correct me. I don't see much of the news of HCC winning various orders. So what do you have to comment on this?
So, Saurabh, you know, this infrastructure sector, clients have got a certain way of awarding a project. Okay, so there has to be a tendering process in which first you have to qualify for PQ and then tendering evaluation, all those things have to happen. There are long timelines for tender submission and all that since the day of announcement of a project. So we do have, as I showed in the BD section of my slides, we do have very strong pipeline of the project for which we have either submitted our bids or we are planning to submit our bids. However, almost 7,000 crores of our bids are under the process of evaluation and 14,000 crore worth of projects are under the process of tendering.
Sorry to interrupt you, but may I just answer also the question in a slightly different fashion?
Sure.
To be very honest, it's been a while since HCC was in the regular mainstream of bidding on a quarterly basis. So. When we've been out of the market to projects that we've identified, and certainly, you know, we're very, very clear about the projects and the clients we will actually bid on. We will certainly not basically, you know, bid like it's a dartboard. As far as we're concerned, the pricing of risk for us is just, you know, fundamentally important. And, when we've just started to get into the process of evaluating the projects that we want, there has been a little bit of late, you know, three or four projects that we were evaluating have got shifted by a quarter or two. And like I said, I think that once we start, you know, having gotten into the mainstream of making those that you're actually observing today will actually go away. So I think, you know, when we have this conversation 1 year from today, you will not see us not having actually won jobs on that quarterly basis, because there will be some wins and there will be some stuff that gets preponed, some stuff that's got postponed. But because we've been out of the market for a while, I think that a handful of the jobs that we were looking at and certainly have focused on, and which we have made bids on, but we will make bids on in the coming months, are we're very, very confident that we will actually realize that. So that's one. Second, I think that we're very, very conscious again that we don't want to have, you know, so many jobs in our portfolio that are including a number of smaller jobs. So we're looking at our sweet spot anywhere between, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 crores as being the average size of the project. And there'll be other projects that will be much, much larger, you know, be somewhere in the 2,000 to 3,000 crore range. And so when we look at our target, you know, order backlog over the next, let's say, you know, over the next number of months, you know, there will be a lumpiness because we're looking at, you know, fewer projects that are more material in size. Rahul, sorry, back to you.
No problem, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for your candid answer, Mr. Arjun. We would look forward for the to-be state you just told. Thank you.
Mr. Faisal, you must please start.
Yes, sir. My question is that, now that we have had so many, rather bad experiences at the various diversifications that we made, Lavasa and, so many others, and, which almost destroyed the company. And the infrastructure segment now looks, quite flush with orders, and we could probably, have a pipeline for at least next 4-5 years. Then why don't we, divest the entire Steiner stake, or this thing, and get money into the company so that we can then survive for years together in our main line of business. And secondly, is when we are executing so well and the sales are really at higher at all time highs, is it not a worry that we have only a 12,000 crore order book? And what are the kind of EBITDA margins that we are going to now target going forward?
So let me take that again. There's a few questions there. I think Kirish has already pointed out to you that we were always focused on those kind of projects with that level of complexity and where our edge is and where competition is limited, that would generate those sort of, low to mid-teens EBITDA margins. That will not change. Second, as far as the turnover of the business or the order backlog is concerned, yes, the order backlog is coming down, but I would imagine that the market and you would in the coming months, when you actually see the buildup of the order backlog, would look beyond, let's say, a few quarters in the short run, where our turnover might actually, stagnate, simply because it takes, let's say, 1 or 2 or 3 quarters for the fresh orders that we won to actually flow through our P&L and cash flow. But you certainly have the visibility of the company's success in the quarters and years to come. That's number two. Number three, you made a comment that I would like to respectfully disagree with. I think that as far as Lavasa was concerned, it was at the time a project that was pioneered by the company with the hope of actually creating something very special in India that would have, if it had been successful, might have actually generated such substantial returns for the company that no other construction company would have had.
Your voice is breaking, sir.
And that's part of business, and that's part of business risk. Yeah. So as I said, it's can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
Okay. So it is,
the voice is breaking again.
I think we'll look upon.
No, the voice is the voice is not at all clear. That
investment and that time and that pioneering with. Okay. Is my voice breaking?
Yes. We could not hear even one or two words clearly.
Okay. Did how much of the question do I need to repeat?
Can you just answer?
Or did you not catch
the diversification? My short point is that the Steiner funds should come into HCC, and we should be doing more complex projects with those funds, rather than keep some part of it there. And did I hear correctly that we have divested only a small portion of Steiner stake? So what is the entire stake worth at its best case?
So let me, first of all, I presume what you heard, what I, I presume you heard clearly what I said about Lavasa.
Yes.
We're very clear as a company today that we're an engineering construction business, and that's kind of our core focus. As far as Steiner is concerned, I think that in various calls and this one as well, we've talked about, the need to return capital at the appropriate time, at the appropriate valuation. I'm afraid I can't share with you, what that valuation is. That would be inappropriate. But I have indicated to you that as far as the business or the part of Steiner that we've divested happens to be a portion of the value of the company, and we expect, obviously,
so would it be, at least 2 times our market cap?
A nice material return to sales. I'm sorry, I can't at all basically comment on that. And I think the last question you had was, look, I think that if you look at our track record as far as our subsidiaries are concerned, you know, for example, our PPP, our BOT subsidiaries, those were longer gestation, you know, period projects, and that we, when we actually had developed them fully and when they were realized for full value, generated a tremendous value for the company and the group. And so I'll stop there on the subject, and I hope that you will be patient with regard to some of the details. We'll get to you at the more appropriate time.
Okay, Faisal.
Can I squeeze in one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So what is the role of Mr. Ajit Gulabchand in the company now? And you know, how are we going to, you know, approach with you know, just a 19% promoter stake, and that too is a lot of it is pledged. We will have to now, you know, even subscribe to the rights. So is there some thinking within the promoter group also to raise their stake to a very respectable level from where, you know, they can enjoy the fruits of what they have actually, you know, sown? And you know, Mr. Ajit Gulabchand, you know, we will all agree is a visionary, and you know, I mean, how much does he now guide the company at this point of time?
Is so let me make something clear. He while Mr. Gulabchand is the non-executive chairman of the company, he this is you know ultimately his company. This is as close to his heart as anything is in life. And so whether it's being a mentor or whether it's basically, you know, providing the wisdom that, you know, we need, as far as, you know, certain fundamental areas are concerned, he continues to be involved with the company. He's certainly not retired, I can assure you of that, you know. And so as and at the second point that you talked about, I can't and I will not basically comment on you know, the promoter stake. But I will say that as far as the family is concerned, the promoter group is concerned, we're entirely basically committed to the success of this company and to generating value for shareholders.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mr. Ashok Kripalani.
I think it's that, you know, I've already answered this point as part of the rights issue. I mean, the entire principle in the rights issue is the promoter group is putting in capital alongside basically every other shareholder, you know, in the company as well.
Good evening,
Ashok
sir.
Kripalani. Yeah.
Good evening,
Ashok
sir.
ji, go ahead. Yes.
Congratulations for giving a good performance, reasonable performance. Actually, my question is only one from the as an investor, that how much land parcel this company owns as an investment?
So we have got around we have got four land parcels at different locations.
Okay.
In total, they will be somewhere around 27, 20, around 50 acres.
Okay, 50 acres in Navi Mumbai.
No, different locations. Mumbai,
Location.
Thane, Pune, Navi Mumbai, sub different locations.
Okay, and what will be the value of these land parcels?
So as per our estimate, currently it should
Yeah,
be
but Rahul,
yeah.
I mean, that's not something that we would actually probably like to comment on. I think that's something that the analyst community needs to do their diligence on, and you're I think what would be quite fair is for you to provide some of these details offline to the community to figure out what that value would be.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, it would be a little unfair for us to kind of speculate, you know, on that. And, you know, I think that we can provide that information offline.
No, it
Yeah.
is approximate value, you know. I'm not asking, you know, any you know exact value.
No,
So I
so it's difficult also sometimes to put a value, because for that you need to do a lot of market discovery to put a value, which we are yet to reach to that level.
why don't we I what I suggest we do, and you know, look, I mean, part of the land, for example, is our headquarters in Vikram.
Yeah.
Okay.
why don't we actually prepare something and share that with you,
Jeff? Ashok Riplani. Ashok Riplani.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Kunal, if you can please go in.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
I just had two quick questions. First is, what is the strike rate for our order bids?
Kunal, can you repeat? We didn't get it.
All right. What is the strike rate for the orders we bid for? How many do we convert into actual orders?
So I think, Rahul, I think you can certainly answer. Look, we've not actually won any jobs in the last couple of quarters. So the ratio doesn't, is not relevant. Actually, when you've not actually won anything, what we've certainly done is actually over the last 6 to 9 months, over the last year, during the fiscal year, there have been, I think, about 800 to 900 crores of additions to our order book by virtue of variations. But I think that this answer would probably be a little more relevant in the coming quarters when you see some of our bids opened and when you see some of the successes that actually come in the subsequent quarters. So it's a statistic today that is probably a little less relevant. I think, Rahul, you may, I'm not sure whether we actually share the amount of information in terms of the number of bids we've made. But I think maybe we can provide you a little clarity if you're a little patient in the quarters to come.
Yeah.
Pushpendu Chaman.
I had one more question. One more question.
Go ahead.
So the big pipeline that you have identified for the future of more than 46,000 crore rupees. What is the time frame you expect to bid for it? Like, do you expect to bid for this amount over the next 1 year or the longer?
Yes,
the
answer is over the next, over the next 3 to 12 months. One of the things that I wanted to add, I guess, was the fact that, I already pointed out that the stat should actually be a little more meaningful, in the coming months. Rahul, do you have anything to add?
No, sir. That's the one.
Okay, I'm coming back to. Yeah, I'm coming back to Pushpendu Chani.
Sandeep. One second. I just remembered one other important point to make. And I think it's. I'm glad that Kunal asked the question because it goes to actually indicate the predictability of exactly what our order wins will be, considering the fact that we've not actually done something material in the last 6 months. Kunal, I think it would be very fair to say that the bulk of our bids will actually now start happening. I think that there's very few bids that we've actually made in the last 6 months. So I guess we're not, how should I put it, not disappointed, because the ability for us to actually put the bids in that we prepared have actually not really happened.
Okay, I'm going to the next. I'm coming back to Pushpendu Chan. If you're still there, you may please start.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Sandeep?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. So first question which I wanted to understand from you is that our approximate debt by the end of September was somewhere around 2,400 crore consolidated basis. And the quarterly interest payment, if I see it, is somewhere around 150 crore. So I just was curious to understand the math that for 2,400 crores of odd debt, our annual interest repayment would be somewhere around 600 crore. So what is our typical interest rate for the debts that we take for our works?
So weighted average interest, if you see, is close to 11% for our debt. So when we say quarterly 150 crore, it includes some other financing charges like BG commission and all, apart from the interest that we pay.
Sure. And the second question was, what is the utilization of fund that you are planning to do with the Steiner IG as well as the road assets that you have sold out earlier to Cube?
I think we've already answered this question a number of times. You know, we've used the proceeds in combination of working capital, debt repayment, and for growth, or actually have it on reserve for basically liquidity for growth.
Right. And the third question is related to the one of the questions raised by previous speaker, is the land parcels that you have got, if you can put up in a slide the different land areas that you have in different geographies, approximate areas, that itself will give us an idea that what are the amount of the land assets that the company holds.
Sure, so, sure, we'll do that.
Yeah, typically real estate companies does that. So if you can,
we're not a real estate company.
But
I appreciate what you're saying, because yeah. some of this value is arguably material. So we will share something with you soon.
Right. And related to the real estate business that we have, or the developmental business that we have with Steiner IG, what I think I understand from your last call is that you also have a future plan to hype that off in the days to come. So is there any thought in that direction?
Again, I think we've already answered this question in all sorts of shapes and forms. I mean, I think that
Arjun, your voice is breaking. Arjun, you can't hear you.
There's a difference between saying hiving here. Is that much?
No, it's dropping.
Okay,
Arjun.
Hello.
Yeah, it's flickering. Yeah.
Rahul, why don't you take the question, please?
With regard to Steiner stake divestment, basically this is already answered in the previous while answering to the previous question. Yeah. The process, for us, HCC is fundamental, and it's not that HCC needs any money today, but we are in the process of evaluating. Right now, Steiner Construction has been sold.
Is that my signal is back? My apologies, everyone. Can you hear? Is that better?
Yeah,
but I hear you now. Okay, Rahul, sorry, I'm interrupting you again. Look, the return of capital from a subsidiary in which we have invested considerably needs to be well timed with valuation and opportunity. And the return of capital can come in various forms, whether it's in the form of a buyback, or whether it's in the form of a dividend, or whether it's in the form of even a partial or a material stake sale. So all of these options will be evaluated in the coming quarters to see what is the best. I hope that is clear.
Yeah. Partly I got your response. So I understood what you are planning to allude to.
And maybe on a lighter note, I will actually have the team draft out a little paragraph which is exactly the same, and put it basically on our presentation so that our position on the same is actually very clear.
Sure. Appreciate it. I understood your point. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. One more question, Arjun, is related to the pledging of shares by the promoters group. Usually what we have seen in the market is that market usually won't give right valuation if the promoters' shareholdings are in pledged condition. So is there any thought to coming out of the pledge from promoters' side on their holdings?
Of course. And look, I think that as the company goes from success to success, there will be opportunities for us, whether it's basically from via debt prepayment or a refinancing of the company, that will basically release any and all of these obligations. So I think that that is something that is certainly a focus area for us, but we're doing this step by step. And as we actually continue to grow our business, get new jobs in, generate cash flow, pay down our debt, I don't think that this is not something that we will be able to achieve, obviously in due course. I wanted to take the opportunity, as time has wound down, to also thank many of you who've actually complimented us for, it's really heartwarming to actually get to get your thanks, because it actually pushes us to do a better job. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There is a name called Dell. If you're not going to speak, then I'm going to move. Yeah, okay.
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. So my question is like, we have realized some of our projects, and we get some money, some fund from there, right? So what kind of debt we are currently on, and after completing all this, what will be our debt at the end of this year?
At the end of the?
This financial year.
Okay. So, as I mentioned that we have got outstanding OCDs of around 2,000 odd crores. And we keep on paying them at the end of year along with the accrued yield as per the formula that has been agreed with the lenders. So, accordingly, debt will go down slowly. Like in this financial year, when we make 340 crores of payment, so along with interest, the debt is on that day will go down by that number. But at the same time, this will also would have accrued around 200 crores of yield. So, net debt reduction could be around 100 crores up at the end of this financial year. In the similar fashion, going forward, when we keep on making repayment, we can see debt reduction year on year. Our debt repayments are bullet payments at the end of year. So, in between, there will not be any debt reduction.
All right. Thank you. That's it for me. Thank you.
Incidentally, I want to qualify what Rahul said. There will be obviously, as I've talked about, our focus on refinancing, which is something that we'll focus on, once we actually build our order backlog and our operational cash flow basically grows, and that's something we'll focus on. But there will be an opportunity for us to also prepay debt selectively, where we're able to actually see a yield waiver for our debentures. And as basically we utilize some of the arbitration awards that we actually have a money deposit in court for. So if there are basically opportunities for us to avail of monies against our awards and actually prepay debt, we will certainly do that. And the market, and you will be informed of that, as and when that happens.
So is there any internal target for the same?
I think I would not basically, there is an internal target, but I can't share that with you. I think that, our goal is very, very clear that we want to prepay debt, and we want to be debt-free as early as possible. That's what I can say as a goal.
Right. So with this kind of fund, like how big order we can tender for?
I'm sorry. First of all, we have the capacity, to bid for more than, to take on a new orders of about 15,000 crores. And as I think the opportunities, are continue to become visible to us. And as we scale the organization, I don't think that stops us if opportunity exists and the capital exists for us to take on many more jobs as well. But I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves in an analyst call. What I would like to do is on a quarterly basis, just discuss that as we start to kind of walk, jog, and then run, and then sprint.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Fair Value Capital, you may please start.
Hi, Arjun. Rakshit here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah. Arjun, first of all, echoing what a number of other investors have said, we'd like to place on record our appreciation for what you and the team have done in turning things around at HCC. Truly commendable, and we applaud you for it. A little sense, if you could give a little flavor that I also noticed that the rights issue size has been increased. So I'm presuming that there is some visibility in order offtake in front of you. What sectors are seeming a lot more interesting? And typically, I know it can be lumpy, but what size of projects are we more inclined to bid going forward? Thank you.
So the board today has approved rights of up to 350. I mean, we still have to take a call as to whether it's 300 or 300 plus or minus. I think that 50 crores is not going to really move the needle much, but I think it's something that we'll decide most likely probably close to 350. But again, I think that's a decision the committee will make in the coming weeks, simply because we've had a lot of investor interest. I think that's one. Second, when it comes to jobs, in our sort of core area of expertise, right? I mean, underground metros, transportation works, including bridges, more complex transportation infrastructure, and then you've got hydro, where we are actually seeing now a fresh pipeline of hydro projects being tendered in the coming months. And that's perhaps part of the reason why some of our wins will be a little lumpy, because hydro, the permissions taken, the clearances required, especially the security clearances that are required to bring hydro to market, sometimes can actually be a little complicated. So 3 months in the grand scheme of bringing a hydro project to market is not a big deal. But once we actually see many of these projects that have been planned for many, many quarters come to market, you'll see a flurry of them basically come in. And I think with the Prime Minister's goal, and the government's goal to actually push our, our 2047 goals of, net zero and green power, I certainly expect a huge amount of renewable push to come from hydro and pumped storage schemes, etc. That's a huge and evergreen area for us. So I think that basically covers it. Nuclear, while we have contributed towards, over 60% new India's nuclear reactors, that's a very small portion of our order backlog, but it again is something that we have a tremendous edge in and qualifications and credentials in. So when you see that happen, that'll come in, but again, that'll be lumpy. So for us, 50 to 60%, and I think in the very near future, the next 6 months, you're going to see our bread and butter in largely transportation, and then you'll see that odd hydro project hopefully that will come in basically every quarter or so. So I hope that answers the question.
Yes, it does. Thanks, Arjun.
I forgot there will also be, there's also irrigation. So you will, there are dams and barrages, for the purposes of irrigation, that are also in the pipeline. Santosh Rai is unfortunately not here. He'll probably be able to give you a lot more color. He's busy preparing for the inauguration of our coastal road, which, we're very glad and honored to have our Prime Minister come and inaugurate in the next few days. So that's why he had to actually excuse himself from this analyst call. But I think that we'll give you a little more color, in our next call as well.
Appreciate it, Arjun. Thank you.
Jha Sharda, you may please start.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. I wanted to know in, 3 to 4 years' time, where do you see HCC in terms of turnover and size of business, and what areas you would do? I'm not asking for guidance, but would you be in ballpark 10,000 crore, 15,000 crore kind of turnover, or would you be at 5,000-7,000 crore kind of thing?
Let me put it this way. I think it would be a shame if we've only basically grown at modest double digits. We're privileged to be part of one of the largest infrastructure programs in the world, which will actually continue to be for the next few decades, just transforming India completely. And I think that if we are going to be part of that opportunity, and if we're going to have to, compete, frankly speaking, as project sizes get bigger, more complex, there is no question in my mind that we have to consider multiples of where we are in terms of order backlog and revenue. So I'll leave it at that. I think that we have to do that responsibly. We have to do that in a way which doesn't basically compromise our work ethic, our pricing of risk. And there is no question, as we've actually worked so hard to actually get where we are, where even one project, you know, for us shouldn't actually compromise, you know, be a compromise in terms of the quality of our execution and for our free cash flow.
My follow-up to this is, you know, what kind of challenges do you envisage? Because I believe for contracting companies, bank guarantees become very critical, you know, that becomes a determinant of how much you can actually bid. And also the manpower, because if you're doing complex projects, then having good manpower is critical. So where do we stand there?
So I think that I think as a company actually shows up its track record, I don't think that bank guarantees and capital from banks is an issue at all. I think the quality of the company and its execution is a testament to, you know, the bank supporting it. And I think that that's not something that HCC will have a problem with. I think that that's first. Second, there is no shortage of quality projects in the country led by very, very quality clients. So that's not a concern for me either. There will be in certain areas fairly ruinous competition, and we are not going to be basically chasing those kind of projects which are a little more commodity type. So HCC is going to continue to be, you know, take on, you know, projects which suit its engineering edge. Yes, I think the point that you made on labor is a constant focus area for us. I think that when a more perennial crop planting in India as agricultural basically demand increases, you have a migrant labor population that's starting to kind of be squeezed. And especially in urban areas where, you know, cost of living is actually, you know, especially high. So it's obviously very important for us to have very quality relationships with our supply chain and with our stakeholders to ensure that we have a continuous supply of very quality skilled manpower. And, you know, as large and populous as our country may be, I think we all understand the quality of education and skill among a substantial portion of our workforce. So I think that as India grows, this is going to be probably one of the biggest concerns for the construction industry is that, you know, where we actually, you know, how we skill people and how we actually harness that kind of manpower. So we're able to actually scale an infrastructure program that this government wants to achieve.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Chirag Shah, you may please start.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just so I think this question was repeatedly asked, I think over the last 3 or 4 quarters. Just wanted to ask once again, as you know, at that time, this Vivad Se Vishwas scheme was announced, the second version of it. And the company, as in the finance team or whoever was answering the questions back in the day, they had basically shared with us that, you know, that is under consideration, under contemplation, whether or not we want to participate, because it depends on, you know, what are the kind of returns we are expecting and what is our success rate otherwise in the litigation that is ongoing. So if there is any development on that front.
Okay, I'll give you the very quick answer there. You know, HCC is awards are actually very arbitration awards and claims are very boring, actually. They're not equity awards and they're largely basically extension of time awards. So it's basically these are claims that are very precisely calculated on the basis of escalation, idling, equipment, so on and so forth, that we have at site, you know, for when a delay takes place on a project. And these are the projects that we've completed years ago. These are not, so like I said, they're not terminated. So we, when we look to do a Vivad Se Vishwas, especially where, you know, if it's not crossed one hurdle in court, you know, for us to leave 35% on the table. And in addition to that, you know, there's a simple interest of 9% that's applied, you know, in the calculation from when an award has been given versus in many cases, our awards carry with them post-award interest of 12 to 13%. So if it's an old award, for example, like that's 5 years old, and the spread between, you know, what Vivad Se Vishwas basically offers is 9% and what we have, let's say, is 13%, requires for us to give up an additional 4% a year for 5 years, then I'm not only giving up 35% on the principal, but I'm also giving up another 20% on interest. So that ends up making it unviable for me to, in some cases, you know, do Vivad Se Vishwas. Number one. Number two, there are certain awards, for example, that have crossed a stage in the court process, which are 85% plus. And in some, and in those cases, it is attractive because, you know, we want to just reduce litigation and move on with life. And we have applied as a company for a VSP for a few of our awards. And at the time that we actually have a result and an outcome on the settlement, we will inform you with regard to what those are. The process is taking a little longer than expected because, you know, as government is responsible for the taxpayer, there is has to be a reconciliation to the last decimal point in terms of what we think the number is and what they think the number is. And when you have interest that is being calculated over many years, that's also one of the reasons for the delay. So I think that in summary, is Vivad Se Vishwas something that HCC is going to rely on hugely? The answer is no. But yes, we will basically be selective in terms of, you know, where it makes sense for us. And there are, I think, four or five awards where we have approached the government, you know, to close those litigations out. And as and when they basically conclude, we will let you know. There is one other aspect that's important. You know, we've also got a sanctions from our lenders for special bank guarantees for court, which are
we're losing you, Sudhavan.
Money out. Yeah. So I'm so sorry. I'm actually on the way to actually meet for an important meeting. So otherwise I would have. Okay. Am I clear now?
Yeah, it's better now. I think we in between was a bit of a blur. Yeah.
So what I would like to end by saying is that, yeah, you know, we have special bank guarantees, you know, which our banks have sanctioned to us for the procurement of monies that are in court against our arbitration awards, which are effectively 100%. So those are far more attractive to us at this point in time than, let's say, a VSP settlement where we would actually leave a considerable amount on the table. So these are various considerations. As the government continues to extend the scheme, or if it becomes available in the future on an ongoing basis, depending on the needs of capital for the company, we will take a very clear call in terms of, you know, when and how to kind of proceed the decision then.
Thank you. I think, you know, basically this is what I wanted to understand because, you know, what has been identified, because that was under evaluation stage at the relevant time. And it's good to be pragmatic, you know, as a practicing lawyer, I can only say that, you know, these things take so much more time than originally envisaged. That's about it as far as my question. And congratulations. I think we are making nice and steady improvements. And congratulations on the good results. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. So we understand there are no further questions. So we will be closing today's call. Thank you for joining. Look forward to connecting in future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.